Great. So I'm Mary, compulsive overeater, first speaker, and my topic for sponsorship was getting started. And there are questions like, how do I know when I'm ready? Do you guys have this too, this paper with the questions and everything? Okay, great. Then I won't say all of those out loud. I'll just answer them. So how do I know when I'm ready to sponsor? I know that I felt pretty nervous about that because when I came into the rooms, my home meetings did not have a lot of people in their 20s and 30s. And so I was nervous about being faced with sponsoring somebody who was my parents' age and just kind of how that dynamic would work. So I was working my way through the steps, and once I got into step four, some of the long-timers at meetings started saying things to me like, don't wait too long to share your gift. And I started to kind of wonder myself what that was about and how I should go about it. And lo and behold, somebody asked me, and the question really got answered for me. And to my relief, it was a young woman who was in high school. And so my first sponsorship experience was with somebody that I really felt pretty comfortable feeling like I had actually maybe been around a little bit longer than her in the rooms. So that was just what happened for me. That was my experience. And since then, since I have become a sponsor to more people, and I have also had more than one sponsor myself, that I've asked my sponsors, you know, what should I suggest to my own sponsees? And the biggest guideline that I got was when I'm halfway through step four or through with step four, and that was myself when I started to feel ready to have something to offer to somebody in terms of sponsorship. So if you're asking yourself that question, you know, the things that came to me were, you know, don't wait too long to share your gift, and speak with your own sponsor about, you know, what your collective experience might be. Speaking to other people in meetings about their experiences is always helpful for me. And also, especially, I feel like if somebody asks you, then that might mean that they see something that you have to offer. You know, our literature suggests that we find someone who has what we want, and we ask them how they got it. So if someone's asking you how you got it, then sometimes I think I have to have the whole thing planned out. I have to know the whole road. I don't have to know the whole road. I just have to know that today this person is asking me for my experience, strength, and hope. So how to start being a sponsor? My own answer to that question is the only way that I can be a sponsor is to offer what I have, my own experience, strength, and hope. So for me, you know, first I thought I really had to reinvent the wheel, especially because I'm a teacher. I was like, well, what's like the best way to sponsor, you know? and that was, of course, mixed with, you know, all I have is what I know. But I've really settled into something that's very comfortable for me, which is I sponsor the way I was sponsored. And the answer to that for me is that when I came into OA, I wasn't ready to get a sponsor right away. I had never been in a 12-step program before. I had not come out of a lot of the isolation that I was in. I was willing for literature to sponsor me. I was willing to go to meetings. And so I started working the steps in our workbook. And so now when I work with sponsees in OA, we work through the questions in the workbook, at least through step four, which is when I then got, you know, really serious with a face-to-face sponsor. We went through my questions I had already done and then continued on the path with the rest of the steps. So that is now how I work those steps with my sponsees, because it turns out that my experience is what works for me. So let's see, what else was I going to share about that? Yeah, you know, there's a lot of different experiences people have with their sponsors. And so, you know, for me having worked with different sponsors, I've had a sponsor who, it was a very, like, scheduled way to interact. We had an hour a week that we worked together on what step work we needed to do. If there was an assignment that I needed to do and I hadn't completed it, then we didn't meet that week, and she suggested I spend that hour working on it. And, you know, if I needed to call here or there, then I could just call, but she might be available and she might not. And that was a person who had a family and a career and also had, like, a gajillion sponsees. So that's what worked for her. I've had another sponsor where she really caps herself at two sponsees. She also has a career and a family. And, but when I said, when I requested to call her every morning, she made room for that. And when I was first, going through the, reading her those questions from the workbook, like, I was just so eager. You know, I just really wanted to get through this stuff. And so she really met with me as frequently as she was able to, you know, and sometimes that was like 30 minutes a day at the end of her school day, 4 days a week. Like, she just did what she was able to do. And I've also had the experience, this is what I'm the most comfortable with and what one of my sponsors really does, is an idea of matching energy with our sponsees, that when our sponsee has a lot of energy around meeting and working and that sort of a thing, that to the best of our ability, obviously we have the constraints of our real lives, but to the best of our ability, that I meet that energy. And if, you know, there's less energy and they are busy with other things or just whatever that is, that I can also gracefully, you know, have less energy, that I don't need to, like, push them to do something, you know. And even in my more structured relationship with my sponsor, that's really how that works too, right? Like, if I don't have the time to work on my assignment, then we don't meet. You know, the energy kind of ebbs and flows, you know, because just because I'm a sponsor doesn't mean I don't still care to defects. And my perfectionism doesn't still creep in. And sometimes I go like, well, why aren't they doing it? In my head. But I don't have to express that to a person. Just the way I don't have to pressure myself that way anymore today, to the best of my ability. How to start being a sponsor. Here are some things that I wrote that are really messages to myself. Be honest with myself. Be myself. Learn as I go. Ask for help from other people. Get feedback. And this is one that I have to remember every day. For me to not be afraid to say things like, let me get back to you on that. I'm not sure. Let me think about that. You know, because when you're dealing with the intimate details of another person's life or history, sometimes they ask you questions that you really don't know. and that's okay. And that's why we all have a higher power. you know, one thing that's been important to me as a sponsor and a sponsee, because we do develop social relationships with our sponsees too, whether they're close friends or not. It's been important for me to make sure to, like, get step work done every time we meet. Because that's why a person is coming to me as a sponsor. If they wanted to come to me as a friend, then they would have said, hi, I want to be your friend, you know, but they're looking for a solution to this disease that we share. And so, even when it seems like sometimes my sponsees really just want to check in about what's going on with them, just like I do in my role in the classroom, I have to remember that that it's my job to set the structure and keep the energy moving toward the solution, which for me is, you know, the steps and the steps and the tools and the fellowship. And they're coming to me to usually to work the steps with me. That can be hard because things come up in people's lives that they need help with. So I try to be gentle when things like that come up. But usually if I don't stay focused on that, I usually regret it once I get off the phone. I think to myself, that didn't feel quite right. You know, it felt great to be able to listen and respect somebody and meet them where they are. But that little extra voice. Okay, why do I sponsor What's in It for Me? Very first thing that went down on my list is, you know, the big book says I'm not going to stay sober if I don't. I don't always relate to the phrase, give it away to keep it, or like I can't keep it unless I give it away. Like I don't know, like I don't always connect emotionally with that. But I do connect to how cunning and baffling and powerful this disease is. And the way that I've been sponsored is not that I go through the steps in order over and over again, but that sponsorship is the way that I continue to work the steps once I have gone through them. Obviously, there are steps that we continue to do all the time, and we can continue to utilize all of the tools that we've gained from the steps, but I won't stay sober. I think inadvertently, I think of my sponsees when the cravings come, you know, like, I don't want to have to explain to them that I ate that, you know, I don't want to have to talk to them about that. Okay. Other reasons that I sponsor, I learn to be responsible to other people. I learn to show up when I say that I was going to show up. I learn slowly that when something comes up that interrupts us, that I need to call them as soon as possible and not tell them at the last minute. Because if it were the other way around, while I absolutely love and respect my sponsors, and I would still love them if they told me at the last minute, I know that that's not the right thing to do, right? So it keeps those things in mind. And, you know, I don't know about you guys, but I just feel like there's so many things about relationships that I'm able to practice first in the context of my recovery program before I'm able to practice them with my coworkers, with my husband, you know. So this is this wonderful place that I get to practice what it means to be integrity, in integrity with others. And sponsorship is a real way to do that. I mean, it teaches me intimacy, how to be a good listener, how to not have to fix other people. All I have to offer is my experience. That's it. And I can offer my comfort, and I can offer my witness, and I can offer to walk the road with people, but I cannot always fix what's hurting other people. Like, half of my sponsees called me this week, and they're just like, I am just, like, in so much pain, and I'm so confused. And for all of them, like, I'm like, I got nothing. So I could just say, I'm here with you. I'm here with you, and I will keep walking with you. I will not go away. Let's keep doing this, you know? So responsibility, balance, and honesty with other people. Oh my goodness, one of the best things about being a sponsor is it helps me to get out of my head. Because I hear about other things happening to other people. And it's a big part of my disease to live between my ears. And it's been with me so long, and it was a coping mechanism for so long that I really don't, I don't always notice when I'm doing it and when I get there. And so thank goodness I have these sponsees on my schedule to just, there it is, you know. And I'm a military spouse, and especially in the last year and a half, there's been an incredible amount of upheaval in my life. My husband has been deployed, come home, we've moved across the country. And while my sponsee schedule changed during that time, and they were have been very patient with me, that was actually something that really kept me sane, because it was something that stayed the same, as well as my meetings with my sponsor. It teaches me how tolerant and loving other people are. My sponsees show me the face of God all the time. I sponsor because I feel a responsibility to Overeaters Anonymous to keep the message moving. If I don't sponsor, then other people can't sponsor. And if they can't sponsor, then other people can't be sponsored. And eventually someone walks in the door and there's nobody to sponsor them. So I need to sponsor to be a part of the family tree. I sponsor because my sponsees always manage to say what I need to hear. And I always manage to say to sponsees also what I need to hear. Sponsoring reminds me that I have this huge, like, sum of experience now. And what's so cool is that even if I'm having a crappy day, they can ask me a question, and I can think of a time when I really acted in integrity with my highest self, and I can offer them that. The reminder that my higher power is with me all the time comes when I get to offer that, like, the super good stuff to them, remind me that it's there. Negativity is a big part of my disease. Negative attitudes toward myself and others. I get to see that my life is useful to other people just because I exist and I lived. I don't have to have advice for them. How do I work step X? Well, this is how I worked step X. And then that helps them. And all I did was say, this is what my sponsor told me to do. I have a place in this world that is useful just because of that. Even if I didn't have a family, even if I didn't have a job, even if I didn't do anything else with my day, there is worth there because of that, which is pretty extraordinary. I don't even have to pay you guys money to come here. Also, and this isn't true for all sponsorship families, because when I was first sponsored, my sponsor was a person who... she didn't want me to say that that she was my sponsor, and she didn't tell me who her sponsor was, and it was just a matter of, like, the best of anonymity, right? The lack of judgment. We're all just here. And there was simplicity and beauty in that, and respect and integrity. And I have another sponsor who I am now part of this, like, vast structure of sponsees where I went to a retreat in New York when I lived in New Orleans that, like, all of these people were somehow connected to me, and we were from all over the country. And it's really neat to see that there are other people getting better. And that there are other people working the steps and sponsoring. And you get to see the sponsee of the sponsee of the sponsee of the sponsee. And just see that we're sponsoring. And that these people are working strong programs. And that was just, that part of that was really inspiring to me. And the last question I had is, you know, are there different kinds of sponsors? And, you know, it's kind of an obvious yes. It's in our literature. It's in our literature that we can have more than one sponsor, that we can change sponsors at will, that, you know, I wrote down in response to this that sponsorship is a tool of our program. So go get the help that you need. Go get the help that you need. Go find the people who have what you want and ask them how they did it. You know, I've heard terms of like sponsor, food sponsor, step sponsor, co-sponsor, sister sponsees, grand sponsors. You know, go get the help that you need and go be the help that other people need. I haven't had anyone sort of ask me to be a specific sponsor to them. But I know that I'm certainly open to that. And I feel, you know, like I said earlier, as a sponsor, I just have to be honest about what I'm comfortable with and what I'm not. And I think that we can trust other people to say what they mean. And that's all we've got to go on. So we can ask or have other people ask us. Or if there's a certain kind of sponsorship we're comfortable with, you know, we can announce that. A lot of meetings around here, it does specifically ask for sponsors, and you get a chance to introduce yourself. So that sounds like a great opportunity to, you know, kind of be specific about what you might have to offer. Another thing that just came to mind in the couple of minutes that I have left. Ah, yes! I usually go over. This is great. 3 minutes. Is that, like, to announce it, you know? We need sponsors. Any program needs sponsors. We need people who are, like, out there being like, me! I've got some message to give, you know, like, it's all just my experience, but, you know, my sponsor suggested to me that, that while I am working the steps, I'm in several different programs, and there's still a couple programs where I'm actively working through the steps, and she said, make sure to announce it, like, tell people what step you're on. Tell people what part of that step you're working on, because you're not going to be doing that forever. Like, at some point, you're going to get through them, and you're going to be doing maintenance on all of them, and it's going to be great, but people need to hear that other people are working the steps. So that's a little bit of a tangent, but I feel like the same thing could apply to sponsorship. Sometimes in the rooms, it could feel like nobody sponsors. You know, it's not every meeting that feels that way. You know, but if you think it might be time to share your gift, you know, you could even say, I'm available as a temporary sponsor. I'm available to take calls. Dip your toe in the water. See what other messages your higher power might have for you after that. Think about what piece of sponsorship you feel like you might be comfortable with, and then maybe go in that direction and just see what happens. You know, more will be revealed. So I'm so grateful to have been given the opportunity to share my own experience about this. I love sponsoring. I've had a lot of sponsees. Not a lot of them have gotten through step four. A lot of them have floated off into the ether. And I matched energy with that. There's a lot of sponsees I haven't had any closure with about that. And that's okay. Because I also didn't beat a dead horse. I, you know, it's a program of attraction. So I certainly don't want to make anyone feel like they have to be ready to be sponsored. Because that's not a requirement. The desire to stop eating compulsively is the only requirement. So, but it's a very exciting journey to go on with other people. And, I really look forward to hearing what my panel fellows have to say and hearing any questions and comments. And thanks for having me. I'll keep coming back.